you're here. Fellowship, sweeter, knowing you're near. It's so good to see you. I hope that it's fair.
Everyone loves you. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It's Tuesday, November 1st, 2016. Reading from Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endureth such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Oh, listening friend, you're in for a real blessing, and I'm hoping you're returning from yesterday's edition of Mark and Friends to hear the conclusion of the message as preached this past Sunday, October 30th, by Pastor Herb Coates at the Mattis Avenue Free Methodist Church in Champaign. His sermon was titled, Consider Him Who Endureth. And I so appreciate Pastor Herb's delivery of this message, his passion, his heart for those who know the Lord and have walked faithfully with him for many years, and yet his tenderness in expressing God's love to reach those who are maybe far from God or haven't understood how to follow Jesus and walk in his ways. And in fact, after he preached this message on Sunday, I know of two women from China that then requested to be baptized in the coming days. So Pastor Herb's going to meet with them so that they understand their commitment to follow the Lord Jesus Christ and to be baptized. But there were many points throughout his message that the hairs on my arm went up or tears welled up in my eyes. In fact, today I think you'll be really blessed by one point where it talks about how Jesus endureth for you and for me. So I hope you can stay for the next 20 or so minutes. And if you missed a portion of yesterday's broadcast or you can't hear today's edition in its entirety, they are archived at greatnewsradio.org under our archived programs page. But before I share a quick overview, let me share an exciting update. As a week from this Thursday, so that'll be on November 10th, our good friend and Thursday co-host, Pastor Joey Kroll, will be coming to the Great News Radio Center at Lincoln Square for a book signing on his new book, just recently released, titled Common Misunderstandings About God, Jesus, and the Bible. So if you want to meet Joey Kroll, purchase copies of his book, or stop by the Great News Radio Center. We'll have a meet and greet and book signing from 5:30 to 7:30 in the evening. Now, our good friends, Ken and Jan Roderick, and they're the ones that did the dozens and hundreds of desserts at our big 20th birthday celebration. Well, they're going to whip together some great desserts. And so that'll be another incentive or treat for you to show up on Thursday night, November 10th, at the Great News Radio Center for a special meet and greet and book signing with Pastor Dr. Joey Kroll. Now, in order to have the right fixins and arrangements set up, I would ask that you would stop by our website and sign up or share your intentions on joining us or those friends that might be coming along with you. So stop by greatnewsradio.org. You'll see a copy of Joey's book, and then just click on the link and let us know that you'll be attending on Thursday night, November 10th, between 5:30 and 7:30 p.m. at the Great News Radio Center at Lincoln Square. Now, you might say, Mark, I don't have internet, or I don't know how to do those kind of things. We'll let you call the station and let Karen know your intentions on joining us. So that's Thursday night, November 10th. 5:30 to 7:30, a special book signing with Pastor Dr. Joey Kroll, who many of you know from the Thursday edition of Mark and Friends, from our public service announcements, from his Sunday worship program, and his cheery good sharing of various radio announcements and highlighting the happenings with this radio ministry. So come on out. Let's enjoy some time with Joey Kroll for his book signing on November 10th. Well, as mentioned, just a few days ago, Pastor Herb Coates of the Mattis Avenue Free Methodist Church in Champaign delivered a message on Consider Him Who Endureth, sharing primarily out of Hebrews chapter 12. And he encouraged us to persevere in our walk with the Lord and be encouraged by the witness of the saints who have gone before us, to be free of those hindrances that keep us from walking faithfully with the Lord Jesus Christ, not being held back, but to live by faith, being consumed by Jesus, by who he is, by how he endured, and the fact that he loves and cares for us. So I'm going to repeat about 2 minutes of yesterday's broadcast where he was closing out with a special example of an individual that persevered in the Olympics. And I love how he shares out of Isaiah 46 and Psalm 27 that I know will be an encouragement for you today. So listening friends, keep your eyes on Jesus and start with him and not with your problems, and consider what he endured for you because he loves you. Here's Pastor Herb Coates of the Mattis Avenue Free Methodist Church in Champaign.
Some of you are old enough to remember what happened in the 1992 Olympics in Barcelona, Spain. At the track and field stadium, the gun sounded for the 400 semifinals. About 100 meters into the race, Britain's Derek Redmond crumpled to the track with a torn right hamstring. Medical attendants rushed to assist him, but as they approached Redmond, he waved them off, struggled to his feet, crawled, and then hopped on one leg in a desperate attempt to finish the race. 4 years earlier, he had also qualified for the 1988 Olympics in Seoul, South Korea. 90 seconds before his heat, he had to pull out of those Olympics because of an Achilles tendon problem. Following that injury, he had 5 surgeries. And yet somehow, he had qualified again for this 1992 Olympics, and now he tears a hamstring. But he said to himself, "I am not quitting. I'm going to finish this race." And he worked his way, hopping, crawling at times down the lane. And after a few minutes, a big middle-aged guy wearing a t-shirt and tennis shoes and a Nike cap that said, "Just do it," across the front, barreled out of the stands, pushed past a security guard, ran to Derek Redmond's side, and embraced him. He was Jim Dedman, Derek's father. Jim was one of those sports dads who changes his whole life for the sake of his athlete child, and he changed jobs, and he moved to find the best training venue for his son. And now, arm around his son's waist, Derek's arm around his dad's thick shoulders and neck, they continue down the track. Mom and sister were watching this race back home on the television. His sister, who was pregnant, went into false labor. Mom is weeping. There at the stadium, the crowd is standing, cheering. Derek and his dad work their way around that track until finally, arm in arm, they cross the finish line. You know, God says as much in Isaiah 46. "Listen to me, you descendants of Jacob, all the remnant of the people of Israel, you whom I have upheld since your birth and have carried you since you were born, even to your old age and gray hairs. I am he. I am he who will sustain you. I have made you and I will carry you. I will sustain you and I will rescue." That's God's talk. That's God talking. And as he carries you, as you wrap your arm around him, God whispers in your ear those great words from Paul: "Stand firm, let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know your labor in the Lord is not in vain." And he embraces you and squeezes you a little tighter and whispers again, "Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up." He whispers again, as he does in Psalm 27, "Wait for the Lord, be strong and take heart and wait for the Lord." Now there's a third thing that the author of Hebrews calls us to when running the Christian race: be consumed with Jesus. That's what Pastor John talked about last week. Amen, John. Be consumed with Jesus. In verse 2, we are called to run the race, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. Sometimes the translation here is rendered looking unto Jesus, but the NIV does a good job here because in Greek the word that's used here in this text for looking doesn't just mean glancing at something. The word that's used here is a word that means that though you're aware of other distractions, you choose to gaze intensely at something in particular. Fixing our eyes on Jesus is a great translation. You see, my gaze can't be on great men and great women of faith. My focus can't be on those who impacted my life as a Christian, as thankful as I am for them. I cannot look at my pastor or my parents or my Sunday school teachers. They may all be wonderful people, but friends, we can't focus on them because they are imperfect people and they will ultimately let us down. They all have feet of clay. But there is one upon whom I can fix my gaze every moment of every day as I'm enduring this marathon and running this Christian race. I can and should keep my eyes constantly focused on Jesus. He will never let us down. If you look at others, you'll be discouraged. If you look at yourself, you'll be downcast. If you look at Jesus, He will lift you up. And so the author says, I'm to fix my gaze and to look constantly at this one who is the pioneer and the perfecter of faith. Now, what does that mean? Jesus is the pioneer of faith. He got it all started. I'm in this race because of Him. Had He not paid the price for my sins, I wouldn't be here in the Christian life. He is the one who is the pioneer of faith. And when I cross the finish line and I enter heaven's gates, I'm going to fall into His arms. He'll be there at the end. He's the finisher of faith. Truth is, He's the start, He's the finish, and He's with us every step in between. So I am to fix my eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before Him, He endured the cross. Now I know why I'm to look to Jesus. He ran the race and finished the course. He came into this world and took on human flesh. He became what I am. He remained who He is, God, but became who we are, man. He's the God-man, and He lived among us for 33 years, a sinless life, and He is the one on whom I am to fix my gaze. Now notice the Bible says, for the joy set before Him, He endured the cross. Now what does that mean, the joy set before Him? I think that is a reference to the completion of the will of God for His life, knowing that God's will was that He would suffer and die for our sins. He is the one who purchased us, who died on the cross in our place as a substitute for our sins, and He did that willingly. Jesus, for the joy set before Him, knew He would be fulfilling the will of the Father, and He also knew that when He emerged on the other side of the cross through the resurrection, He would ascend and be exalted at the right hand of God. So He endured the cross. He despised the shame. He suffered all of that. And then on the other side of His suffering, He sat down at the right hand of the throne of God, having atoned for our sin. He rose from the grave. He ascended to heaven. He sat down. He remains seated. He remains enthroned. And forever He reigns in heaven, and someday will bring us to glory with Him. Nothing can ever remove Him because He endured to the end for us. That's why I love Jesus so much. There's so many reasons that I love Jesus, but one of the reasons I love Jesus so much is that He never asked us to do anything that He hasn't already Himself done. He ran the race, He endured, and now He calls on me and you to run and to endure and to keep our eyes fixed on Him. And friends, the only way to win the race is to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus. Hebrews 12:1 tells us to run with perseverance the race that's marked out for us. We have everything we need to help us along the way. We have the testimony of the saints who've gone before us. We have the example of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have the promise of coming glory when we finish our earthly course. So keep your eyes fixed on Jesus. Don't be distracted by the things of the world. Keep running. Don't look back. Keep your eyes on Jesus and run with all your might for the finish line. But what about when we face Heartbreak Hill? Friends, problems will come. But here's an important principle. Start with Jesus, not your problems. When hard times come, don't start with your circumstances and try to find Jesus. Start with Jesus and then go back to your circumstances. And that's so important. Hard times often trip us up because we can't understand how or why God would allow certain things to happen to us. But you will never find Jesus by rummaging around in your tattered circumstances. If you start with your problems, it will be nearly impossible to find the Lord. Start with Jesus. Go back to the Bible. Review what you know about the Lord, about His mercy and His grace and His faithfulness and His goodness and His kindness and His power and His wisdom. And once you have that foundation from the Word of God, then you can find your way back to your circumstances. Now, that doesn't mean you're going to understand all that happens, but you'll see your problems in the context of a great and mighty God, a great and mighty Savior. Start with Jesus, not your problems. I love verse 3. Consider him who endured. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. There's only one word in the Greek that occurs in each of these three verses. It's the word endured. In the first verse, it's rendered as persevered in the NIV, but it's the same word that's later translated endured. With endurance, we are to run the Christian race. This is the focus of our author. And now, because Jesus has endured, we are to consider him who endured. Now think of everything that Jesus went through, and we'll close with this. When he began his ministry, Jesus was tempted by the devil for 40 days in the wilderness. He endured. When his own family didn't understand what he was going through and thought he was crazy, he endured. When those followers of his began to fall away, one after another, and no longer followed him, he endured. When the Pharisees told lies about him, he endured. When the Sadducees connived in order to trap him, he endured. When Judas betrayed him for 30 measly pieces of silver, he endured. When he went to the Garden of Gethsemane and sweat great drops of blood as he pled with his Father facing the cross the next day, Jesus endured. As the temple guard came and arrested him in the garden, he endured. As all of his 11 disciples scattered like rats from a sinking ship, he endured. As he went through the mocking and the suffering of numerous illegal trials through that night and early in the next morning, he endured. As he watched Peter curse and deny he ever even knew Jesus, he endured. As he heard the crowds crying out, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" He could have called 10,000 angels to destroy the world and set him free, but he endured. And as he experienced the trial before Pilate and saw Pilate wash his hands and give him over as an innocent man to the crowd to be crucified, he endured. When the soldiers mocked him and spat upon him and slapped him with their hands and then said, "Prophesy who hit you," he endured. When they thrust a crown of thorns upon his brow in excruciating pain, Jesus endured. When a Roman soldier raised his chain of terror called a cat of nine tails and flayed the flesh off the back of our Lord, he endured. When he carried that cross down the Via Dolorosa outside the city gate, he endured. As they laid him on that old rugged cross and nailed spikes into his hands and feet and lifted him up to die as a common criminal, he endured. As the two thieves were crucified with him, hurled their invectives at him, he endured. As the callous crowd around them called out mocking, "Come down if you're the Messiah," he endured. As Satan came against him on the cross with all the forces of hell, he endured. As God the Father himself caused foul sewers of all our sin to be emptied upon Jesus in one rushing, putrid, filthy flood on the cross, in the midst of it all, Jesus endured. He endured all the way to death, and he cried out, "It is finished." And he said, "I've paid it in full." He endured. And as they laid his body in the grave, he arose. He arose. Up from the grave he arose. With a mighty triumph o'er his foes, he arose the victor of the dark domain. And he lives forever with his saints to reign. He arose. He arose. Hallelujah. Christ arose. Praise God. 40 days later, Jesus ascended to heaven and he seated himself at the right hand of God. And there as King of kings and Lord of lords, he endures on our behalf. As Hebrews 7:25 says, he is able to save completely those who come to God through him because he always lives to intercede for them. And one day the trumpet will sound and he will return again and call us to be with him in glory. He endures. Therefore, the author of Hebrews says, with perseverance or with endurance, let us run the race marked out before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him. Keep your eyes fixed on him. Live the rest of your life looking to Jesus, who endured such opposition from sinners so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Hallelujah. What a Savior. Let's sing that song in closing to God's glory.
Well, I don't know about you, but I had to wipe away a few tears from my eyes, and I just so appreciate Pastor Herb Coates of the Mattis Avenue Free Methodist Church as he delivered this message just this past Sunday, and I broke it into yesterday and today's edition of Mark and Friends. And I just know Pastor Herb's heart and his passion for dividing God's Word and his heart for his congregation and the privilege that we as Great News Radio have been allowed to share some of his messages over the air. I trust you were blessed and maybe convicted or encouraged, and you'll take to heart the fact what Christ endured for you because he loved you. So Pastor Herb had the congregation stand up and sing Hallelujah, What a Savior. And so I would ask that you would sing along with Haven Quartet this very song as we close out today, the Tuesday edition of Mark and Friends. But may I add that if you do not know about having a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ or what it means to follow him and be a Christian, there's an 800 number that you can call, a toll-free call, with some wonderful people that would love to answer any questions you have about the Christian faith or following Jesus or why the God of the universe has an interest in you. You can dial 1-888-NEED-HIM. That's 1-888-NEED-HIM. Let me also mention again that if you missed a portion of today's broadcast or you weren't able to tune in yesterday for the Monday edition of Mark and Friends for the first part of this message as preached by Pastor Herb Coates at the Mattis Avenue Free Methodist Church on Sunday, you can hear it in its entirety at greatnewsradio.org under our archived programs link. And if you missed the announcement at the front end of the broadcast, a week from Thursday, that's November 10th, at the Great News Radio Center from 5:30 to 7:30 p.m., we'll have a book signing with Pastor Dr. Joey Kroll, and he'll bring along the copies of his new book, Common Misunderstandings About God, Jesus, and the Bible. Find out more by stopping by our website, greatnewsradio.org. That's greatnewsradio.org. Or call the station at 217-367-7777. Here's Haven Quartet, Hallelujah, What a Savior, what powerful lyrics to remind us all day long that we can live by faith because the Lord Jesus Christ endured for you and he endured for me. Thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of this radio listening family. This is Mark Burns with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you and have a great day and night.
Finished was his cry.